All right, today we are going to get into moving fast through some verses. We're going to start in Galatians. Question. If you have a choice between freedom or slavery, how many, go ahead, how many would choose slavery? Depending on who the master is. That's a good answer. Okay. Paul was dealing with a problem with this little church in Galatia. They had heard the gospel. Many of them received the gospel by faith. They were justified by faith. He talks about that in the earlier parts of his letter to the Galatians. So he writes to the Galatians because they're listening to some false teachers, some Judaizers who were coming in saying, well, Jesus is okay, but you've got to do this. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the feast days. You've got to observe these festivals and these feasts, and you got to do these things at this time if you want to be a real Christian. And that was what they were bringing in. What they were doing, as he said in chapter 1, they were distorting the gospel. He said, if any of you preach any other gospel other than that which I preach, he said, let him be accursed. And Paul doesn't repeat himself too often, unless it's really important. He repeated that twice. Any man preach any other gospel than that which I preach. So what they were preaching was a gospel of works. So then he gets, if you go through Galatians, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, of course. You've got the book. You can read it. But he talks about justification by faith. He says you were justified by faith, not by works. Why are you trying to go now to teach or understand a justification by works? He gets to chapter 5. He moves into a little bit different category. In saying that we're justified by works, by faith, not by works, he moves on to say we're also basically, and I'll sum this up, we're sanctified by grace through faith. In other words, as we've already heard, the Christian life, our source of power is from God, not from ourselves. Our life is to be about Him, not about us. Now, first verse of chapter 5 talks about freedom and slavery. Let's read it. Matter of fact, I want to read down through verse 6. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. I used to think about this passage. This years ago, I come up with an idea for a sermon, a message, and entitled it "Jesus Plus Nothing." I said it's really a math question, sort of. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But that works not only for the point of salvation, but it also works in the Christian life. Now, Paul saying here that we have been set free to be free. Does that make sense? We're set free to be free. Well, why else would we be set free? Set free so to do what? So if you've been set free by Christ, therefore keep standing firm. I think this is basically what Paul was saying, or they were saying in Titus, that this is the life. You're stand firm in this, and this is how you do it. It's through Christ. It's Christ that set us free. Stand firm in that faith. Hold on to that faith. And don't be subject again to the to a yoke of slavery. How do you get set free and then move back into slavery? Doesn't make sense, does it? You're free. You're free. Why would you go back to slavery? You know, some of you studied history and the history of our past slavery history, and we know when Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation and declared the slaves would be free, and some were set free. Eventually, all were set free, but even after the war, some decided to stay and remain basically slaves. Why?
They knew nothing else.
Yeah, they didn't know anything else. You know, and it, like you said, it depends on who the master is. If the master, if that person was good to them, and all, where else would they go to have it any better? Well, when we're born into this world physically, we're born into slavery to sin. We're born with a sinful nature. Paul calls it the flesh here. He's referring to that nature, that fleshly nature that we have, that we're born with. And we get it from our great, 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 ever far back Adam, who started it all. And our sin nature's passed down, and we've got that sin nature. Every one of us are born dead with that sin nature. Dead in our trespasses and our sins, Paul says. But we're made alive in Jesus Christ. So in that slavery, now when you put that initial trust into Christ, if it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as we say so many times. But if you mix anything else in there with that, what does that do? You can't mix it. Oil and water just doesn't mix. You can't put works on top of grace, or it's no longer grace. If it's grace, it's not works. If it's works, it's not grace. It can't be both. Picture, it cannot be both. How many times have you, I have talked to so many people over the years that, well, you know, I trusted Jesus when I was a little fella or a little girl or something, but, you know, we got to do something. We got to do our best. And I said, my answer to that is, have you? Do you know of anyone, including yourself or anyone that you might know, do you know anyone who has done their best? No. Our best is, Isaiah said it, like filthy rags. That's our best. No, our best doesn't get it. No matter how best our best is. What happens when we choose slavery over freedom? Paul outlines it here. You go back to slavery, this is, and you say, well, who's he talking to? Is he talking to believers or unbelievers? Yes. Talking to both. In the letter to Galatians. Here he's specifically, I believe, talking to the Galatian believers. At verse 2 says, behold, Paul, I say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. If you add works to your Christian life, works for pleasing God, several things happen. First of all, no benefit from Christ. Verse 3, you got no chance. That's really what verse 3 says. Look at it. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. What? Wait a minute. Now there's hundreds of them. You mean I got to keep them all? Well, James says if you break the law at one point, you're as guilty as breaking all of them. Like hanging from the proverbial chain, you know, you're hanging there and somebody cuts one link, how far are you going to fall? Other than what if they cut five links at one time? Well, you're still going to fall, same distance. Paul says if you're going to be justified by works, you're going to need to keep them all. You know what he's saying? He's not saying that there's a possibility that you can keep them all. He said, you ain't got a chance. So you got no benefit, no chance. Verse 4. You have been severed from Christ. Wow. No benefit, no chance, no Christ. Second part of that verse. You are seeking to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. No benefit, no chance, no Christ, no grace. We'll talk about that a little bit more along here. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. We through the Spirit, through God, the Holy Spirit, we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. So if you're not going to God this way, what's the other? No. You have no benefit, no chance, no Christ. No, what was the other one?
Grace.
No grace, no hope. Sounds like slavery to me. Sounds like you're locked up. Would that make you feel trapped? Would that make you feel condemned? Would it make you feel like the weight of the world is coming on me? How am I going to get there? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do what God wants me to do? How am I going to please Him? Well, the answer is you can't. And if you try to do it by your own effort, just like trying to be saved by your own efforts, trying to live the Christian life by your own effort, is the same result. No benefit, no grace, no faith, no Christ, no hope, no chance. You can't get there by going down that path. There's two ways that this outlines here that you fall from grace. And when he says fall from grace, it's not talking about losing your salvation here. He's not talking here about them losing their salvation. He's talking about them losing their way of life. He's talking about losing a lifestyle, losing a connection to God. That it has to come through grace, not through your works. Two ways, legalism and license. Talks about both here, legalism. Like you've got to do this, you got to keep this, you got to pay this, you got to join this, you got to go here, you got to go, you know, Sunday morning makes you a Christian, but if you don't go Sunday night, you ain't a real Christian. If you go Wednesday night, oh, God's going to bless socks off of you, you know. There's not many of us do that. That's when our men's group meets on Wednesday night. We got the tradition covered. You see what I'm talking about? It's the same thing. Paul's talking about circumcision and the thing these Judaizers are laying on them. But we lay these same things on ourselves. We put these same tokens up, I guess you could say, to say, okay, God, you got to be happy with me today. I went to prayer meeting. Well, I didn't make it to church, so I guess I better watch one of these evangelists on TV. And sometimes you can't get to a physical location. I've been to that place many times. You can't get there, or it's there. You don't have a there. So you make do. Maybe you have your own church. So when you are doing these things, whether it's, you know, how to say this, if we're doing good things, and I'm just throwing a church or using as an example, or giving money, or helping old ladies across the street. I mean, if we're doing these things as things to please God, then the motivation is we're doing them to for ourselves, to show who we are, or to say, well, I did this or I did that. Then if it's a wrong motivation, then it's something that's not going to be pleasing to God. If our motivation is for whatever we do, whether it's considered a religious thing or cooking a meal for someone, or cleaning up someone's house that needs help, or just doing things like that, if it's for the right motivation, then it pleases God. Well, sometimes we get caught up in the legalism of what we ought to wear, where we ought to go, what we ought to do, what we ought to say, what we ought to pray, what we ought to pay. That's legalism. You jump down to verse 7, he starts talking about the Judaizers who were giving them a problem. You were running well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you, but a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view but the one who is disturbing you. You shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. What's he saying here? Here's, I'm a Jew of the Jews, and I'm not preaching this. Why are they persecuting me? Would that those who are troubling you would just mutilate themselves. In verse 13, he says, "For you were called to be free, called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You've got the other side of the coin. You got legalism. You flip the coin over, you got license. What do I mean by license? It's the 007 viewpoint. James Bond, license to kill. We think, oh, now we got grace, gives us a license to sin. Well, the Romans thought that. Remember? Romans, Paul wrote to Romans in chapter 6, and they said, Paul, if it's grace, should we just continue in sin so that grace may abound? If God's got plenty of grace, why don't we just live sinful lives? We can just sin, because then it'll be more grace, grace, grace. Makes sense, huh? Well, I thought it did. When I was 19 years old. Man, I don't even want to tell them stories, but man, when I was in college, got saved, I thought, man, this is great. I wasn't a person, even before I became a Christian, that used bad language, but after I became a Christian, I started cussing. Because I could. I mean, it's crazy.
We heard this story.
Yeah. It was crazy. I can't even go into all the crazy things we did thinking that, oh, wow, it's grace. Grace. More grace. I just do this and I'll just get to grace. I use 1 John 1:9 like a, you know, ATM machine or something. It was... need more gracious, go get the cash machine and get you some more out. But I didn't finish reading Romans 6. In Romans 6, Paul said, God forbid, how can you live this way any longer? Christ died and rose again. You died with him. And I like, well, I got to turn over here. This is too good. Turn over to Romans 6, if we get there. Look at this verse. Think about this. If we read it, well, let's read this and then we'll see here. Verse 7 says, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. See that master, that slavery to sin and death. For the death that he died to sin once for all, and the life he lives for God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12, here's the verse I kept skipping. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Stop presenting yourself as instruments of sin. And I was an instrument of sin. And I'm not talking about an occasional sin. I thought a lifestyle of sin and just keep drawing on my grace credit card. And I was running that credit card up. Well, I liken 1 John 1:9 to an insurance policy. You know, we buy car insurance. Why? We don't want to have an accident, but in case we have an accident and we smash our car, we want to get it fixed. Get the insurance company to help us fix that. Romans 6 is like the road sign. Going down the road, let's say you're driving in the mountains. I'm just driving into the mountains up last week, and curves going around and back, and looking over the long drop off on the side, and the sign says, deadly curve ahead, slow down to 25 miles an hour. Well, you could say to yourself, I got insurance, I got car insurance, I got life insurance, I got health insurance. Why do I need to slow down? I like speed. I'm going to see if I can take this curve at 90. Well, you could do that. And if you live through it, if you don't live through it, I guess you got your barrel insurance. If you live through it, you can get your car insurance, your health insurance, you get fixed back up and go do it again. Or you could, in other words, you could use 1 John 1:9. Or you could read the sign, slow down, drive safely around the curve, and continue on your way. That's what Romans 6 is saying. Slow down, stop yielding to your desire for speed, obey God and His Word, and keep going. You don't have to stop to use your insurance or your 1 John 1:9. Maturity in the Christian life, discovered I don't have to use 1 John 1:9 every day. Or every minute as I have been in the past. Well, what's the time? What time am I through?
Rock and roll.
11:25. Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go back to Galatians. right, that's a different, that's legalism and license. What do they both do? They both take us back into slavery, don't they? Both take us back into the bondage of sin, bondage to our sin nature, not just an act of sin, bondage to our sinful natures, the dead nature that Paul says shouldn't have control over us anymore. We don't have to pay that master anymore. We don't have to yield to him. He says, stop yielding to that nature. Stop yielding to the flesh. Yield yourself, present yourselves to God. Now, how does that work out practically? Paul says in Galatians 5 and in verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of your sin nature. Well, that sounds pretty simple. Well, what does it look like? If we walk in the flesh, if we let our old sin nature control, what does that look like? You want to see? I'll turn the page. Verse 19 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Why did he put that one in there? That's a little one, maybe. Outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings. And maybe just in case you can think of some others, things like these. You can make the list a lot longer, couldn't you? You put your own list on there. That's what the flesh looks like. And when you live in the flesh, when you live it, and when you let the old sin nature control, you're back into that slavery. And when you go into that slavery of legalism, or whether it's legalism or license, most of us today deal with the legalism side of it. What does it do? It takes away the benefit of Christ in your daily life. It takes away your chance for success. It takes away your hope. It takes away your the grace in your life. See what it does? It robs you of the joy of your Christian life. It robs you of freedom. Man, and we all yearn for freedom. Anybody that's ever been locked up in a dungeon or a prison or behind a wall, what do they want to do? They want to get to the other side. They want to get out. They want to be free. That's built into us. Well, what happens if we walk in the Spirit? What does that look like? Well, you know what this is. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So what's your choice? Freedom? Slavery. And how do you know what choice you've made? Sometimes it comes down to that. You know, sometimes we worry about all the little things in our life, and you know, well, I may not be doing this right, or I may do the right. I better not do this, or I might not do it right. So we're afraid sometimes to do what God wants us to do because we're afraid we might not do it right. But that's not what God wants. That's not how He wants us to live either. Let the Holy Spirit control you. That's what He was talking about in Ephesians when He said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be consumed or controlled by some substance. But be consumed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what He was talking about there. If the Spirit fills you, you're walking in the Spirit. And if you can walk in the Spirit consistently, that's why He calls it a walk, not a jog or a run or a trot or It's a walk. It's a consistent, daily, moment by moment by moment thing. And when you step away from that lifestyle, I don't mean a sin. I don't mean, oh, I did something, and you know, you're mature enough to recognize it, and you and God get together on that deal, and you confess it, and you move, and you keep moving. I'm talking about you move away from the lifestyle of grace. That's what he's talking about when he says he's fallen from grace. You've fallen away from what God wants for you. When you move into legalism, move into a license, you fall away from the grace life that he has for you. The joy of the peace that passes all understanding. Not only do you fall away from it in your life, you fall away from it in being able to give it to others. You can't give something you don't have. So, salvation by faith through grace. Christian life is the same way. You can't say, well, I want grace for salvation because I know I can't get to heaven, but I can live down here. You know, I'm pretty good at doing things. Pretty smart. I think I can handle, I got it now, God. I got my fire insurance. I'll take it from here. It just doesn't work that way. No. Slavery or freedom? How do you know when you're free, when you're living free or you're living in slavery? How do you know what you're filled with? Like this illustration. If I had an orange in my hand, and I squeeze that orange real hard, what would come out of it?
Orange juice.
If I had a lemon in my hand, if I squeezed that lemon, what would come out of it? What comes out of Christian when you squeeze it? What you're filled with. That's what comes out. If you're filled with self, then bitterness is going to come out. Sign language is going to come out. Bad words, jealousy. That's what comes out if that's what you're filled with. If you're filled with the Spirit, what comes out? You get squeezed. Love. Boy, I got tested on that last night. Hour and a half delay in Boston. Had to run 2 miles to get to the terminal in Jackson. Man. Oh, yeah, in Atlanta to get to my Jackson flight. Got to Jackson, no luggage. God, are you trying to get me ready for tomorrow? But he did. He got me ready. Let's pray. Father, thank you for grace. God, I can't do it. I can't serve you. I can't love you. I can't please you without your grace in my life. Fill me and control me that I may show who you are and not who I am. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.